Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, podcast listener. On this week's episode with Alex Miller of Xander Circuitry, I frequently mention the 20% discount on the Xander Circuitry web store, not realizing that it ran out at the end of May. Very fortunately, Xander Circuitry have put together a very special discount voucher just for podcast listeners. Use GTRNRD20 at the checkout on xandercircuitry.co.uk for 20% off of every available pedal in the Xander line. That's GTRNRD20 for 20% off. Now, back to the show. Hello and welcome to the Friday Special, a podcast by Guitar Nerds. Now for 2020, the Friday Special series is running every week, and each week I've got a new guest from the world of guitars, amplification and effects pedals. We're going to have brands and producers and musicians, loads of other things. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Guitar Nerds pedal guru, Matthew Knight.
Hello there.
And our guest for this episode, Xander Circuitry's Alex Miller. Hello, Alex.
Hello, hello. How are we?
Yes. Well, we are good. We are good. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Friday Special. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on the episode. It's always wonderful to have people from kind of the burgeoning UK effects scene, or to, you know, sort of music scene in general. You know, on last week's episode we had Matt Oram from Fidelity Guitars, and Alex, do you own a Fidelity?
I think you do. Matt, I know Matt quite well. I think I was one of the kind of early adopters of some of his stuff. I don't think he'd been out too long, but yeah, no,
it
yeah,
looks
Matt
makes, it no. looks like an earlier Fidelity, your model.
Yes, I kind of spec'd every, like, everything on it, like you do with most of his stuff. He happened to make a left-handed model when I met him at a guitar show, and I played it. I've never played anything like this, and I definitely need one. And then I think it was within a couple of weeks I'd messaged him and said, can I get one of these?
And of course, as a left-handed player, I guess it's very beneficial to be able to spec things to such a level. That's something I guess you're starved for slightly in the conventional off the page guitar world.
Yeah, it's definitely getting better, especially since I first started out, where you can only get like a black Strat or a Butterscotch Tele. Like Squire has started doing some left-handed like offsets and stuff now, but yeah, it's improving. But yeah, it was definitely nice to kind of spec something completely like to my own taste.
You went for Sunburst though, didn't you? Did you?
Yeah, it's like it's a strange kind of not like a full on like Gibson style Sunburst. It's more of like a like black kind of fades into like a like just like a natural wood color, like a one. I don't know. I'm not very on it with colors and how they're named. And then just like Mojo gold foils, humbucker in the bridge, single in the neck. Some strange neck material that I don't even know what it's made from. This is really bad. I should know.
Is that the guitar that you play through to test out all your pedals, or do you have a range of them?
I have a couple. So I've got I flick between that one because that's kind of like bright and jangly, with like the gold foils, obviously, and low output. And then I've got a Kurt Cobain Jaguar that my wife bought me a few years ago.
Ah, perfect. Ideal. That's exactly what you want. Now, I guess I kind of went off on a tangent at the start there, and just immediately talked about Fidelity Guitars, but we should, of course, talk about Xander Circuitry. For any listeners who aren't aware of Xander Circuitry, goodness, I don't know how long you've been going, Alex. Like, I guess we became aware of your pedals... Four or five years ago?
I think we got the tape deck, didn't we? Yeah. We did a review on the tape deck.
So I think you guys got the second version of the tape deck. So we've been going officially since August 2016.
Right.
But I was building just like random clones and selling them in unfinished boxes on Facebook groups for like maybe a year to 18 months before that. So probably like early 2015 is probably when I started really getting into it.
How so many pedal builders start, I guess, isn't it? Like those sort of unmarked boxes being sold, you know, without a name on the internet. Were you called Xander Circuitry back then, or was that later? Was that when you decided to put a name to the business?
Yeah, so August 2016 is kind of when the name first started, and then we started putting the name on the boxes. Prior to that, a lot of them were unfinished, and there was a few. So the Cyclone was like my first pedal, and it kind of started as like a Fuzz Factory, and then slowly, but basically just a straight up clone, and then slowly morphed into like its own thing to what it is now.
That's still in the range. So that's a pedal that survived all the iterations of Xander Circuitry, because as we'll come on to later, you're certainly one for reinventing the brand.
Yeah, so it seems to go in cycles about every 18 months. I'm determined that this will be the last round of changes, because it's quite exhausting to do it every time. There are a few Cyclones actually floating about that are unbranded. Probably maybe 10 or 15, right, if any of them still work, knowing the way they were built when I first started. Since August 2016 was when we kind of first started, and then we just kind of slowly worked our way up from like just doing straight clones, and then I just kind of learned by doing, just slowly tweaking stuff, and then just applied that knowledge into then moving more into original stuff.
Right. And I guess, and to kind of finish up what I was supposed to talk about as the intro, for listeners who aren't aware of Xander Circuitry, Xander Circuitry are a British-built boutique effects manufacturer that kind of create a really decent broad range of pedals. But I think one thing that as I sort of touched upon, is almost the calling card of Xander Circuitry is the fact that Alex reinvents the brand and the look and the chassis of the pedal quite regularly. So I think what did we get? You said we got the second iteration. So I think we got the tape deck, which was a wonderful dual button, sort of tape delay. And that was kind of retro styled. It was like a baby blue chassis. It was kind of that horizontal format, you know, rather than a tall pedal. And it very much had sort of quite a classic retro, feel to it. That sort of quintessential retroness. And I think we had something else, a vibrato as well. I can't remember the name of the vibrato.
It was a dual warbler.
Yeah. That was it as well. And again, that was similarly styled. And that was very much how you produced that sort of run of pedals.
Sorry, Joe, go on.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, because I think the next time we saw you, was it Birmingham? I'm sure it was at a guitar show, and all of the pedals had been redone with sort of new graphics. And I think I remember saying to you at the time, it was a real, it felt like a real step up for the brand, I guess. You know, sort of, not that you were amateur before, but, you know, it was almost no. You know, it's... I think the thing that we see with so many brands now, be it Walrus or JHS, they've all got, you know, a style. Every pedal is like a style, isn't it? You know, it's finding
part of a uniformed look. And I think maybe before everything had its own sort of individuality, you've brought it under a kind of a utilitarian sort of format now. So everything has the same. It's a bold color, and then all of the graphics are done in a white decal on the pedal. So that's kind of the identifying mark. And still you're managing to keep that sort of interesting artwork on the front, sort of everything from, you know, the Buddha on the Siva or the octopus on the Sono. There's always something interesting going on there. Where do you get the artwork done? Do you design it yourself?
Yeah, well, kind of half and half, really. So I'm my kind of in quotes real job is as a graphic designer, and that's kind of where it was kind of half started as, oh, I want to build pedals, but also I want an outlet to do some design work for myself, because it's a break from working with clients and working for a company, and it allows you that creative freedom. So that was kind of half of the reason that it started, really, was to do a little branding project.
Cool.
And yeah, so the designs often come from, well, initially, like you said, with the kind of first kind of two rounds of pedals, if you like, where they all had a very kind of different, distinct look. All that stuff was designed by me, kind of pulling a lot of inspiration from like that kind of Americana kind of style signage, like very type based. And then when we kind of shifted things up, I very much took inspiration from like the brands you've mentioned, like EQD and Walrus, where they all have that consistent kind of typography style, but the graphics are different, but they all kind of look like they're part of one family. So a lot of what I pull would be like old etchings from, you can find like these old, like you can buy up these old libraries from like old etchings that have been pulled out of books and turned into vector illustrations, or old patent drawings, which is kind of where the tape deck the new graphic for the tape deck came from. It's like a patent drawing of a cassette tape. So yeah, and then if I need to modify them and move them around to kind of fit the layout and make sure that, you know, all the control names are legible, then I can do that. But largely they're kind of pulled from older drawings, just because I just found it fun to kind of bring, like kind of breathe new life into these, like some of these drawings, like from the Junipero, for example, that the graphic on that's like, I think it's like 400 years old from this old, it's like etched into this old book, and we've kind of pulled it out and given it a new life.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. And I guess, yeah, everything really does have that. So from the, of course, you know, I'm looking at your website page at the moment, which as we'll come to has just the remaining stock at the moment from the current line. So we can't see everything here. But, you know, you've got everything from like the butterfly on the American Geek to the map on the Avalanche, the cafetiere, which has like a diagram of the various parts of a coffee cafetiere. You know, everything it very much has that sort of book illustration look to it, which, yeah, is definitely a style. And then it's just the colours behind them that change from pedal to pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it helps you be recognisable. I think that's always the thing, isn't it? You know, there's so many brands. You know, you're as a new manufacturer, you've got to fight through a lot of competition and, you know, so many people buy with their eyes now, especially when it comes to pedals. I think it's great to kind of stand out. And like I said, you know, step it up a notch, I think, in terms of graphics. I think that was instantly the first thing for us that it really felt like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk about the pedals themselves. And as I touched upon, we should talk about the fact that, of course, there are only 7 pedals available on the website at the moment. And that is because you're selling through this current stock, because then, you know, you are about to undergo another change. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so the change this time, yeah, so we have, I think, 12 pedals in the range currently, but there's only 7 left. A few of them aren't making this jump over to
there are going to be discontinued pedals. Are you allowed to say what the ones are that are being discontinued?
Yeah, so, well, two of them have already actually sold out completely. So the tape deck and the Exosphere aren't moving over to the new...
Oh, my goodness, the tape deck's not moving over. Okay, all right, that's okay. I've got an early
and also,
one.
and also the Avalanche, that's not moving over either, just because it won't suit the new format that we're working towards. But there will be things that come in bigger and better to replace
okay,
them.
And is that because the Avalanche is a three... button pedal, is it something to do with the chassis of the new ones that's changed?
Yeah, so basically obviously people can't see it, the tape deck, the Exosphere and the Avalanche are a landscape format, and the rest of our pedals are portrait, and the new format that we're moving over to now, so for those, I'm sure some people will be familiar with enclosure sizes, so the enclosure size that we use now is a 1590 BB, and we're moving over to a 125B, which is about a third smaller, same height, but about a third narrower, so it doesn't really allow for three switches. It's the same size as like most Walrus stuff, a lot
yeah.
of the...
Yeah, so
of
it's,
that.
It's almost
1590
like...
is more electro-harmonics-y, I guess, for people who don't know the chassis. And yeah, you're moving to the slightly more conventional, yeah, Walrus JHS-style format.
Yeah, totally, yeah. So with that, the graphics are largely staying the same. The thing that we're changing is we're moving from powder-coated boxes to just... plain boxes, and instead of having a white UV print, we're moving to a single color screen print. So, for example, the American Geek, that's currently a blue box with a white graphic, will be a plain box with a blue graphic, and then we're getting custom aluminium knobs that are, well, they're just specific to us. A friend designed them for me. And they'll match. So, for example, like the American Geek will have blue knobs. The Cafetiere, if we get that printed in pink or purple, will have purple knobs, and so on and so forth.
Oh man, that's
awesome.
Kind of
like, almost like how, kind of like how, similar to kind of how Chase Bliss do it a little bit, I suppose. But yeah, so we're really excited about that. And then the big, one of the other big things with the new format is the update to soft switching, which also allows for latching and momentary.
Great. Amazing.
That's kind of the big change that's coming. So like you said, the stuff that we've got at the moment is kind of the last of the current format, and we're slowly kind of clearing that out, and people have been really good at buying it up. It's been a kind of a crazy month for us.
Well, you're not just selling through. You're also selling through. You're selling through with a discount at the moment. You've got like an online voucher code going on for people.
Yeah. I won't repeat. It is quite a rude one, so I won't repeat it. But
Yes. But it's in line with advising you to stay at home. But just be a really firm message about why you should do that. But it's a fantastic campaign, and in line with that campaign, dear listener, you get 20% off. It is 20% off, isn't it, Alex?
Yes,
I'm not over discounting your products. Yeah, you get 20% off everything in the shop, which is massive when you consider that Xander circuitry pedals are already incredibly reasonably priced. You know, I think everything hitting under, except for the surplus, everything already hitting under the... Oh no, including the surplus, everything hitting under the £150 mark, which is very, very reasonably priced for boutique effects. And when you add another, 20% off of that, that's fantastic. And of course, you get a chance, listener, to own one of the last of the third iteration or second iteration or whatever it was, stock of Xander circuitry, which is
It's part of the move, just as I guess, just taking a step back. So when you were building stuff like clones in unbranded boxes, was that your sort of first step into circuitry, or had you been doing it a while and, moving on to the next iteration? Is that just because you understand circuitry and layout better, and you just feel that you can make that jump into improving the pedals in better houses, I guess?
kind of a bit of both, really. I mean, prior to building effects, I don't have any electronics background, qualifications, anything like that, other than just learning how to solder just by, you know, changing pots in guitars and wiring pickups up and stuff like that. I'd done some basic soldering. And then I kind of got into building a few DIY kits just to kind of try my hand at it, just like boosts and one knob fuzzies and stuff like that. And then over time, so like the first iteration, all that stuff was built on like strip board. And then the kind of, so even when the company first started, some of the very, very early pedals were still built on strip board. And then that kind of second iteration where we moved away from using like stickers for the graphics and moving into like a screen printed box also came with the change of moving to like proper circuit boards, which also allowed us to then move into some more ambitious circuits, because you can really only take strip boards so far before it just becomes really laborious and time consuming to build on. Like, it's fine if you're building like a fuzz face where it's got 10 parts, but if you're trying to build a delay with like 6 knobs, it takes way too much time, and troubleshooting it is a real pain. So that's kind of where that second shift came. And then, yeah, I guess slowly over time, as I've learnt by doing, just by spending kind of countless nights just fiddling away and thinking, oh, what happens if I build this circuit and then I'll just start swapping parts out and see what this part does. That's kind of where my knowledge has come from it. So there may be things that I'm doing that aren't really technically correct from like an electronic engine, like an engineering perspective, if you like. But if it sounds good, that's really all that matters.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
So you might buy us a transistor funny, and that might not be technically what the data sheet says you can do, but that can give some kind of crazy sounds, which is why you see bias knobs on so many fuzz pedals. And then over time, it was a case of, let's start seeing if we can streamline the process. So maybe we'll start moving parts over to SMD, which is kind of where we kind of now move into smaller enclosures, because we're taking those kind of big like through hole resistors and changing them to, you know, tiny parts.
Which is the way the whole industry is going, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think pedals are going to be so small you can't even see them.
I think slowly people are letting go of the myth that through hole is somehow superior. I don't know. I think maybe it's just because people don't necessarily want to see the same kind of.
Oh, is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, is this
part of the sort of effects pedal? Is this like the effects pedal version of, you know, Valve versus digital amps?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't really buy into it, and I think that it's sometimes pushed as a bit of a gimmick. I think a lot of people just maybe don't want to see the same kind of components that they'd see in the back of their TV as they would in an effects pedal. But
right,
ultimately they are just resistors and caps for the most part. And if you're talking about anything particularly complicated like a delay or a reverb, then it's all going to be digital anyway for the most part.
But you still use free range copper, I assume.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
it is an odd one. I think it's very very bizarre, but I mean, yeah, there's brands that have been doing it. In fact, actually this week I was talking to Yoshi. We did a live stream on the DS1 because loads of people didn't realize that the DS1 had moved to sort of SMD, and the circuit board is tiny, like absolutely tiny. You know, you can make great improvements to products. And I guess they're more consistent as well. It just allows you to make better products for the end user, realistically.
Yeah, and it allows us to take some of the weight off of it. I mean, because I mean, I'm just a one man band, and I work a full time job as well. So when you move to SMD, I mean, some parts are easier to keep through hole. Like if you're trying to find specific transistors for a fuzz, and you need them to be a certain, they need to be within a certain range, and you have to test them. That kind of stuff is easy enough to do, but and you know, just place a couple of parts at the end, but. Resistors and caps are largely really good at being pretty bang on most of the time now, given the quality of kind of manufacturing. And it allows, so I can get the boards arrive to me kind of part completed, so I don't have to sit there and hand bend 100 resistors to build a pedal. That I can take that weight off of my shoulders. because it is exhausting, and it allows me to keep, like, it allows me to add things like the updated switching without having to put the cost up, because I'm then saving the cost of my time by not having to sit there and hand place 100 resistors. So it means I can kind of focus on improving the pedal without having to charge more money for it.
Yeah, of course.
So sorry, Jay, you go.
No, you go, because I want to move on to the new pedal. I want to talk about that. So if you've got something else on this.
No, I was going to ask exactly the same thing. I was going to say, well, how does that all lead into the new stuff?
Yes, of course, because as we're recording this, your new pedal, the Junipero, has not yet been released. But by the time this airs, it will have just been released. So listener, this is a very exciting development, certainly for Xander Circuitry. This is a real new type of thing for you. Tell us about the Junipero.
Yeah, so this has been a labor of love and hate for just over 2 years.
Well, I was gonna say, if you were at a guitar show 2 years ago, you may have seen the Junipero, because I think you brought it along to one of the, it might have been a year ago actually, thinking about it, but there was a test model a while back, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a kind of beaten up prototype that we've kind of been we dragged around to many shows through 2018 and 2019, and now it's kind of finally ready to go. And as far as I'm aware, I think we're probably the first British company to do anything like this.
That's exciting.
I mean, I may be wrong, and someone's probably going to call me out for being wrong.
No, it's fine. You heard it here first, listener.
But yeah, so it's a digital pedal. It's a multi-modulation pedal that has 8 different effects in it, ranging, like, kind of going through choruses, flanges, phasers, tremolos, harmonic trems, ring modulator. And then kind of on top of that, kind of wrapping around those kind of.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
core eight effects. You've got stereo, in and out, MIDI, tap tempo, presets, subdivisions, buffered and true bypass switching, kind of full, like, expression control, like all that good stuff. And it really kind of stemmed from my, like, I always wanted to build a chorus pedal. That's kind of where the idea started. And that was probably maybe probably almost as long as we've been going. I always wanted to build a chorus pedal because I really loved the...
What was the desire for a chorus specifically?
I really like the effect. I know it's... I know it's a kind of a love-hate thing with a lot of people. But I've always liked the sound of it. I think maybe stemming from my teenage obsession with Nirvana, I think, and that kind of
that's all right. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it stemmed from. So I'd always kind of thrown around in my head, like, oh, do I just build something kind of based on the CE2 or like the small clone or something like that? But then a lot of those chips are now obsolete. That go into those pedals. I mean, Matt will know, unless you have like the buying and manufacturing power of Boss, which I don't. So then that's kind of where that idea started. And then as I kind of got more and more into what I was doing, it was like, why don't I just find something that allows me to put multiple for like effects in what, because that was the plan really, just to build those kind of eight effects with an on and off pedal, and then you got rate and depth and maybe a mix control. And then when I kind of got chatting to a guy who eventually was the guy who ended up helping me do all the digital control stuff, he was just like, well, we could just add stereo and we can do tap and we can do expression control. And I was just kind of throwing these crazy ideas out, being, can we just do this? And he's just like a wizard with this kind of stuff. It's just like, yeah, we can, yeah, we just chuck it in. It's easy. Like, I'll just put it in. So, yeah. So it was kind of a collaborative project between me, and this other guy. I don't know what pies he has his fingers in, so I won't name him. So I did like the audio side of things, like the kind of main effects, and then he did all the like digital control and presets and all that stuff.
That's awesome.
So it's full analog effects with digital control, basically.
So it's fully digital. Yeah. So it uses a chip called the FE1, which is used in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in loads of like Earthquaker pedals and Keeley pedals and it's used by Dr. Scientist, like all those guys have been using this for a little while.
Yeah, I think when we did our podcast with Old Blood Noise, because I was talking to Dan at NAMM, I think he works for Old Blood Noise, about it, and I know Stefan from the Pedal Zone did a video all about the FP1. It's a really kind of really good platform for building on, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it kind of allows you. I mean, really, it's more of a reverb chip. I think that was kind of more it was specifically designed for. Because I think one of the guys who designed it, he used to either work for, I think it was Alesis he used to work for. So it was kind of that. But we've just kind of, you can do modulation effects in it, and that's kind of where this has kind of stemmed from. And then the good thing, well, part of the reason it's taken so long is because we wanted to design it to be the board for the PCB specifically to be somewhat future-proof, in terms of us being able to then maybe later on down the line release a reverb or a delay in a similar format.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, but that's good. I mean, obviously I want to get this one out first. I'm not going to try and run before I'm walking. So.
Yeah, that's that would be, sorry, Jay, go on.
No, go on, Matt.
I was going to say it's quite often the case is that you can be half, you know, and I can certainly be like it when we're talking about some things, is you kind of get a few ideas or a few ideas start cycling around, and before that one's even out, you're already thinking about the next thing. You're like, no, I should really focus on what I'm doing right now.
I feel like if you get that out. Yeah, I think as time's gone on, I think I've gotten worse at doing that as well. so I feel like even like more stuff is continually coming to mind as I'm trying to work through.
Yeah,
I bet. So things that are, so obviously, as you say, you're discontinuing a few things. The Junipero is joining the catalog. But I'd be interested to know, sort of for you, I guess, what was the most fun or your favorite pedal that you've worked on and developed? And it would be cool to talk about, because your range certainly does, it lends itself to fuzz. You have a lot of fuzz options in your range, so I'd be surprised if it wasn't something like that. It's the area of effects where you seem to have covered every aspect of.
Yeah, I think because fuzz varies so wildly. I mean, more so I would say than most kind of distortions and overdrives. Fuzz to me is the thing that kind of has that. Like, you can go from like a Big Muff is nowhere near the same thing as a fuzz, like they just don't sound anything remotely alike. And for me, starting out with pedals like the Cafetiere, which is based on the old Interfax harmonic percolator, it's only got a handful of parts. Yeah, that's what it's based on. Yeah, it's like an all silicon.
Course it is. I don't know why I didn't put that together.
It does make sense now. I hadn't thought of that.
And it's got a whole load more controls though.
Yeah, so that was kind of like I said, the original Cafetiere only had the like volume and gain knob, and then it had a switch that either the diodes were either in the circuit or they were out, the clipping diodes. Right. Which is pretty similar to what the original one was. And then that was kind of the first pedal that stemmed my obsession with clipping diodes, which is where you'll see on most of my pedals now, they've got that. Well, they've got a six way, but they'll soon, in the smaller version, they'll have an eight way rotary switch.
That's great
for selecting different clipping diodes, which are like, so a lot of the like distortions and overdrives have that kind of hard clipping, and you can select between like germanium and silicon LED, and just it was amazing to me like how just like those, that simple change of like swapping out two parts changes the sound so drastically, and that kind of stemmed my obsession with, all right, well, what if I just, you know, instead of putting a fixed resistor here, why don't I just make it a knob and make it variable? And then you can start messing around with that. So it might be, you know, well, let's just put a starve control on it, and so it drains the voltage to the circuit, so you can get that dying battery sound. Or what happens if I change the value of this capacitor to a larger one? Oh, it gets really bassy. Okay, cool. Well, what if I put a pot there and it blends between the thin sounding one and the fat sounding one? And that's kind of how my brain started working. And then I just started adding more and more things to it, because I think people have such an obsession with how does a pedal sound. Like they always talk about the sound of the pedal, and I think Dan from that pedal show has probably made this exact point, and I'm probably just repeating it, but they never talk about like the setup that they're using around it, and the thing that I wanted to try and aim for was how do I make a pedal that allows you to dial in kind of sounds that you would get with almost any setup, and allow you to so if you're running a Strat into a twin and it's really scooped, how do I add something that allows you to dial some of those mids back in, or vice versa, if you're running a Les Paul into a Marshall, how do you then dial it back out again, and things like that. That's kind of how my weird obsession with adding loads of controls came from.
Yeah, I think it's funny because there's so much choice out there. And like you say, so many people just don't And you know, I do count myself in some of that. It's like there's so many options and so many things you can change that you just, you don't really know what you're doing, or you don't, I couldn't necessarily give you all the super ins and out details between a whole bunch of clipping diodes or, you know, EQs and, you know, so much of what we do, you know, me and Joe and Mark and stuff, Jay, when we're trying things out, it's just, you know, you're doing it by ear. And that's the same for so many people. But if you get those options on a single pedal and you can start really sort of understanding how it works, it's going to help on your, you know, with your guitar sound in so many ways, because you're going to be able to like dial it in depending on what amps you're using or at a recording studio or whatever. So it's great to have those options in and actually sort of learn something at the same time while plugging in a fuzz pedal.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of where so obviously once I started messing around with all those pedals, like with the like American Geek, which is like Big Muff based, and the Siva, which is like the op amp Big Muff, the Surplus, which is like a light boost to overdrive, that was like the culmination of all these experiments I've been doing on existing circuits, was to kind of pull the Surplus, which is pretty much as basic as it can get in terms of circuits. I mean, it's just a single stage clean boost at its kind of core, and then it's how do we add, like I just started adding all these kind of fundamental things that I'd learned, like, oh, how do I add a tone control to something, you just put this here, and then how do we make it like an overdrive, that's like, you just put clipping diodes on the output and then you've got an overdrive. So that was like the culmination of all the experiments I'd done on existing circuits kind of came together in the Surplus, which was, it's like as basic as it can be, and then you're kind of, it's almost like a DIYer's kind of like dream pedal, if you like, in terms right. of like the like a basic things you would do with an overdrive pedal or a boost.
I see. I mean, you know, transparent drive is sort of bang up my street. That's, you know, I'm terrible with drive things. So like transparent drive is what I want. If I can make, you know, if I can make a clean amp just sound dynamically driven, then that's kind of, that's the thing for me. And of course, that, you know, the Surplus is doing that with two entire gain stages and your classic sort of six, clipping diode option as well, so it's kind of a you know, a big bunch of transparent drives in one, which is very cool.
So is there any sort of like circuit that you haven't kind of attempted yet that you'd like to try, or is there something that you've gone, like the Everest in your circuit world?
Well, I vowed to never do a Tube Screamer.
Oh,
but
good.
I feel like I might eventually succumb to it in one
way. It's interesting you say that, because I know I was watching an interview, I think it's probably maybe about a year ago, which was Jamie Stillman with Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater, I think, at his studio, talking about the Plumes, which is their take on a Tube Screamer, I think. And he was saying that it's been like their most popular pedal. And I think, you know, and Tube Screamer is definitely one of those pedals that so many people have attempted and tried, that it's even Tube Screamers from Ibanez aren't really Tube Screamers anymore. You know, everyone's like, oh, it's a Tube Screamer based circuit. And it's like that it's got so washed out, I guess. Brian Wampler's a great one for demonstrating that, I always think, is, you know, how different things can sound, or how not different some things can sound depending on what chips you use. But there's obviously still a real demand for Tube Screamers.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously if we were ever going to take it on, I think we'd obviously do it in our own, like the style that we've kind of been following so far, so it'd be some crazy thing with like eight knobs or whatever. But I mean, even now, like when I start pulling together an idea for, maybe it'd be like a drive or something, I mean, there's only so many ways you can create distortion or overdrive from these kind of, like, there's only so many ways you can clip a signal. So even attempting to come up with something completely original at this point, it's likely to be similar to something that already exists. I would be astounded if anyone could come up with a completely unique way of clipping a circuit, clipping a signal now. So yeah, I think maybe, and then also, I mean, I want to try and maybe mess around with like the super fuzz, like the old Univox stuff. I really like that circuit because it's just insane, like how much gain it has. And I think it would lend itself quite well to the kind of mods that we normally put on things.
And it's not like Xander Circuitry has enough fuzzes in its range either, so you know.
No, it's always room. Yeah.
And I mean, do you have to hold back sometimes? Because I'd imagine this, and you know, I've definitely tried a couple, you know, generally sort of homebrew stuff that's been like, you know, you can add a switch or a knob to basically every single component that exists on a fuzz circuit board or whatever, and then you just like, it either just becomes unusable or to the point where that people just call it like a feedback machine or a self oscillator, you know, because it's just like, oh yeah, you just tweak a couple of knobs and then suddenly just all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, totally.
It's difficult to find that balance.
Yeah, I mean that's why I spent. Because that's kind of where the fuzz factory came from. Really, it's basically a fuzz face with knobs that break the circuit in weird ways. And ZVX have done really well off of it. but yeah, I spend countless hours when I'm fiddling with something, trying to figure out what it is I want to change. Things don't always do what you think they will when you're just messing about with something, so it takes a while and I often have to restrain myself. And with the new stuff that's coming in, we've even made, outside of obviously like the updates to the look and the new switching and stuff, there are also minor updates to the circuits that I think, oh, do you know what, it might be better if I do it this way, so that there are kind of slight tweaks that we make as things change.
Yeah, and I guess when you build a new pedal, so if you've got an idea, I mean, do you start with, I mean, what do you use as your base point? Do you go, I'm going to start with a fuzz face and see what happens, or like obviously you say with a harmonic percolator, or do you kind of just breadboard out from scratch and see where it takes you?
I mean, a bit of half and half, really. So we're like with the surplus and stuff, that was really just like, let's just find the simplest schematic I can find for a boost. And then, because if you look at any and you'll kind of see it, like there's only really so many ways you can make that like single gain stage work. So you can look at the back end of a super fuzz or a big muff or loads of other fuzz pedals, and you'll see the same 10 components at the end of the circuit laid out in exactly the same way, and that's basically what the EHX LPB one is. They basically just took that part of the circuit and just shoved it in its own box. And then that was kind of how that one started. But yeah, other times it'll be, okay, I definitely want to build something around a big muff, which is kind of where the American Geek and the Seaver came from with my Smashing Pumpkins obsession. And I definitely know I want to build something around that. So let's either, yeah, breadboard it, or maybe I'll just go on eBay, or I'll go on Fuzzdog and I'll just buy a PCB and build it and just see how it sounds. And then I'll just start pulling bits off the board and think, okay, right, let's change that one to that. So sometimes I might just buy a DIY kit and just build it, because it's often cheaper and less labor intensive to just build off of a PCB and then start messing around with it. And then you're like, okay, right, I know what mods I want to make. Because breadboarding can sometimes get depending on what circuit you're working with, can get quite messy.
Yeah.
And
I guess out of everything you've got so far, everything you've built so far, I mean, what's the best thing you've built? Or, you know, is there, what's the best thing you've built that maybe you haven't released, or just go, no, oh, it's just a straight up clone, or just something that's not going to work for Xander?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Seaver is probably one of my favorite things that I've worked on. Just because,
so the Seaver is your op amp fuzz.
Yeah, so it's based on the op amp Big Muff, and it was kind of like, for me, being able to nail that like Siamese Dream sound, was like, it was, that was, it's like one of the sounds that I've obsessed over like the most. I mean, obviously with like the way they recorded it, it's like 10 rhythm tracks or something crazy, but like being able to get like 80% of the way there just from being able to step on one pedal was insane to me. So that was a really fun one to work on. Things that didn't work, because I had a couple of early modulation pedals, like we mentioned the Warbler, which was a vibrato, and then
yeah, the Warbler didn't ever appear in this series, did it?
No, so I had the Warbler, and then also the Shake and Tremble, which was a tremolo pedal, and yeah, they were fine, but I don't think my heart was really in them. I think I more kind of put them out to fill a gap in what I thought needed to be filled at the time, but really that's kind of where the Junipero is now kind of taking the
Your
lead
all
on
encompassing modulation. Yeah,
and I think that's, I mean, it just really, I mean, like, I'm not shy about discontinuing stuff at all. If I don't think it's going to work with kind of where, like, the direction we're looking to go. But yes, it's just been a strange journey of like, just, yeah, like bringing new stuff in, knocking old stuff out, and it's been a fairly rapid turnover, but I'm kind of hoping that with this like new set, that might slow down a bit and we'll kind of settle into a groove.
Yeah, whilst you've changed a lot, it's very much, it's not like just random changes. It feels very much like you've been on a path to an end result, and potentially this next one is it.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we will see. Well, all very exciting stuff. But that actually brings us up to the end of this week's episode of the Friday Special. So it has been absolutely fantastic to have you on, Alex. Thanks for taking the time to come and chat with us.
No problem.
Oh, wonderful. And you can, of course, catch more Guitar Nerds over on Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds, or you can join us on any of the major social platforms with @guitar nerds. And of course, you know, you can go and check out Xander Circuitry at xandercircuitry.co.uk. Where at the moment you can get a whopping 20% off on their online shop, and of course check out their incredible new Junipero pedal. We'll be back next week with our regular episode on Wednesday, and another Friday special on Friday. We'll catch you then for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
See ya.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.